Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The little shepherd boy David wrote that psalm, and he grew to be a man after God's own heart. Their relationship was built in the shepherd's field, and the same is true for us. In the quiet aloneness with the Lord is where He builds and prepares us. So join in the conversation as we discuss the many benefits of spending time in the shepherd's field.
We have really tried to focus some practical applications to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. And the last 2 weeks, we have really focused on the shepherd's field. And being in the shepherd's field is having a time and a place where you get alone with God, in a place where there's no distractions, and that you're spending that quality time with the Lord. We should continue to pray always, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says to pray without ceasing. But there is something special about getting alone in the shepherd's field and not adding him to your multitasking to-do list.
Well, and let me just comment on what you've said about praying and conversation with God, which is really what prayer is. And I think if we would sometimes even look in our own intimate relationships at building the quality, stop and think if your relationship with your husband was consisted of just, "Hi, honey, I've got the dinner ready. The kids are going here. How is your work? We have this bill." And all of it is true. All of it is sincere. It is all given in a good heart. Mm-hmm. But is that really the depth of your relationship that you want with the most important earth person that you have? Because when you first get married, I know when Bob and I first got married, you could talk about the IRS and I somehow would get it back to the husband that I loved, Bob. Mm-hmm. Or you could talk about the weather and it revolved back to Bob. You could talk about a car. It revolved back to Bob. Everything, because my focus, my heart was centered on that man, mm-hmm, that I loved intently. And God says that we can get to know him to where we hunger for him and we desire for him if we know him as the great shepherd.
And you know, Janie, one of the things that has happened for me is that I remember more of what God says. I remember the scriptures that he has given me, the encouragement he's given me in that time alone with him. And I can remember times that I would say, "Man, God really blessed me the other day and shared something with me, but I was doing dishes. And now I can't remember what it was," you know? And so really just having that alone time with him where you can sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and your Bible and really just write down what he says.
Several things come to my mind that you're talking about in your quiet time. A lot of times, Sharon, people wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not going to go into the scientific multiplicities of why that happens. But I have found that sometimes my mind is the freshest to hear. And so you have mentioned about journaling and what, mm-hmm, that has meant to you.
Yes.
And I find having just a little notepad by my bed, that thought with the scripture that usually comes needs to be journaled then, because I lose the essence or the depth when I then try to remember it at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at some other time. And so that helps me tremendously if I will just have a pencil and paper ready to take those, mm-hmm, preciousness of,
yes,
things.
Yes.
And in Psalm 63, David was earnestly seeking. And that word earnestly has to do with, he woke up ravenous. Can you say
ravenously?
That? Thank you. I can't get that other syllable in there. For his creator. And after filling his yearning soul with the fullness of the Lord, then he broke out into thanksgiving and to praise. And even while lying on his bed in the night watches, His focus was on the Lord. And so to know him as the shepherd, the great shepherd,
right,
and really stop and get to know the heart of God.
Well, I want to share a little bit of a testimony that probably about a week ago, the Lord gave me Nehemiah chapter 8, and it was verses 1 through 9. And this is where Nehemiah is sharing the book of the law with the people, and their hearts become heavy, and they start mourning because they have not followed the Lord. And he encourages them, you know, mourn not, nor weep. You have heard the word of the law, but now don't live in regret anymore. Move forward. And that's what I have in my notes. It says, don't live in regret, but keep moving forward. And then about 3 days later, the Lord took me to Nehemiah again in chapter 8. And I was like, I remember being here before. Was this the verse? And I got the privilege of going back in my prayer journal and looking to the scripture. And it was verses 10, 11, and 12 is what he took me to the next time. So I thought maybe I was in the same scripture, but he just continued on with the verses that he'd given me 3 days before that. And so in that scripture, it says, neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I was just like, oh, that is so good. And in the margins, I wrote, rejoice in your relationship with him. It was just so neat how God was able to take, you know, just a few days apart and allow me to absorb, you know, not living in regret, and then reminding me 3 days later, rejoice in our relationship. Don't fall into that trap of looking behind you at things that you've done wrong, but look forward to what we can do from this point on. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to share that little bit of a testimony and how sitting alone with your Bible in your shepherd's field with the Lord, allowing him to draw you near to him, is so important to your walk with the Lord.
Sharon, don't you find that when you think about the past, which has been covered by the blood, mm-hmm, that usually you go to allowing some negativities?
Absolutely. When we're looking at the past, we are not looking to the future.
That's right.
I can say that I got caught up this past week replaying the ladies' retreat. We had a ladies' retreat last weekend.
Yes, yes.
And I got caught up replaying the ladies' retreat. You know, where could I have done better? Where did we do good? Replaying the entire thing in my head over and over and over. And man, at one point I said, Lord, I have got to stop. I have so many things on my plate this week. I cannot keep thinking about past things. So yeah, there's no looking to the future.
So what I'm going to tell you, Sharon, what we can do with that comes up again is, Lord, I praise you that you were sufficient at that retreat. Lord, if there's anything that was worthless, would you please erase it from those ladies' minds? Father, I know that we praised you. I know that we gave our hearts to you. I know that that was well-pleasing in your sight. So I am not going to replay what could have been a negative.
Right.
I'm just going to praise you for the assurance of the positive because your presence was there with us. And that's how we need to develop our prayer time.
Yeah.
And then we need to be careful because you talked about looking to the future, and we should, but we cannot look to the future with any anxiety. And that's what we have a tendency to do. So yeah. What do? We live each day unto itself with praise and thanksgiving, and that will bring a smile to our face and certainly joy to his heart.
Amen.
When you talk about regrets, I heard you say regrets,
yes,
in there.
Yes, don't live in regrets.
Don't live in regrets. And some of the issues that David learned in the shepherd's field then can go with us to support us even when we're not in a time of being able to be quiet, when we're on the front lines or when you are involved with your family necessities, or you younger women that have children still in school. the way we have our callings as to where we are in life greatly vary.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to apply what David learned in the shepherd's fields, there's several things that if I can just take a couple of minutes, for this will be when you do get quiet or when you're waiting in that 20-minute line to pick your children up from school. And yeah. David learned that he always had to go back and look at God's character. And when you're sitting waiting for your kids, you see God's character as you look around at the beauty of nature that he's
right.
given us.
Yes.
And that can cause your heart and soul to burst out in rejoicing, as you said, when you realize we can't hang a cloud. We can't even know how to grow a blade of grass from
right.
its inception. We know how to cut it, but not how to grow it.
Right.
And then also that David, when he was waiting, whether it was with the sheep or any place else, sometimes negative thoughts have a tendency to gather because you are reflecting on the past, and the past can have some regrets to it, as you mentioned. And I went back, Sharon, and read about 50 of the Psalms this last week just to renew my spirit in the Psalms and to look for consistencies of how David prayed and how he expressed himself. And sometimes David would start off just griping mm-hmm. and murmuring and complaining. And other times it was like, oh, fear, anxiety, I'm so depressed. Oh, my soul, why are you cast down on me? But, and I use that little three-letter word with great emphasis, he never ended a psalm without bringing it back to the person of Christ, the person of God Almighty. You are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my fortress. So even when he started off with, I'm afraid of my enemies, mm-hmm. God, do something.
Right.
That's where the heart of God so loved the heart of David.
Mm.
Because his motive was to always return. And even in his times of compromise, when he was confronted, he acknowledged.
Right.
He didn't try to play the blame game, mm-hmm. the shame game. He
right.
said, I was wrong. I will reap the consequences, but I will go on with my God, for he sustains me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a beautiful, consistent lesson to learn?
Yes.
That the Lord is caring for his tender sheep, and he allows, although I'm sure he doesn't rejoice in our murmuring and complaining,
yes.
he's spoken about that pretty clearly,
yes.
but he nevertheless, in his grace, allows us to unload on him. And then if we stop there, we really grieve him. But
right.
if we will go back to him and resolve everything, Romans 11:36 says, all things are by, to, and from, and for him. And if we can keep that in our mind, then the quiet time that you speak about, the quality time, is going to be rich and it's going to be glorifying to him, and there will not be vanity or loss involved in that kind of thinking.
Right. And that's what I have found, is that even in my complaints, you know, it's hard when you're sitting there in that quiet time to stop with just your complaints. It's easy to do when you are multitasking that.
Yes.
Because you get distracted. You get done complaining and you get distracted with other things, and you don't go back most times to reaffirm, because you don't have your Bible in your hand. You have other things on your mind. So you may complain and murmur and gripe and not understand. You know, so many times we ask God, why, God, why? And most times he doesn't answer.
No, but you know what he has done? Sometimes he doesn't answer if he's already told us.
Yes.
My father used to say, I think I told you that some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So again, that word remember comes across
remember.
Our ticker tape mind. All
yes,
right?
Remember.
But in 2 Corinthians 11:2-3, this is so beautiful, especially with a little illustration that the Lord pointed out. May I read the verse to
yes,
you?
Yes, you sure may.
All right. For I am jealous. I'm just going to read it to you in the first person.
Okay.
All right. Sharon, I am so jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you a pure virgin. But, there's that word again.
Mm-hmm.
I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Now, that word simplicity conveys the idea of singleness, that we are committed to a single relationship so that whatever we are doing, even when multitasking, that we can still have a heart motive and even an intensity over scrubbing the kitchen sink. Now, mm-hmm. that should not be our main time that we mm-hmm. have this, but that we can still stay single focused. And in John 14, he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again." Now, Sharon, here is an illustration that was brought to my attention that kind of just stopped me dead in tracks. So the Lord's going and he's our bridegroom and he's preparing a place for us. But my word, it's taking him longer than what we expected.
Yeah.
So what do? We get to multitasking to fill the time.
Mm.
And that can cause us to go into compromise. And the next thing you know, now you wouldn't do this personally, but the next thing you know, you're dating old boyfriends.
Hmm.
In other words, he's your bridegroom.
Right.
But you're dating the old boyfriends of comfort or the old boyfriend of let's go have a good time. Hmm. Or like the disciples, we're going to go back to fishing.
We get busy doing other
That's
things.
That's right.
Busy,
That's right.
Busy, busy.
And stop and think. He has a single purpose. He is preparing a place for us so that we can live for him forever. Mm-hmm. And the unfaithfulness that we can show to him when we go back to, quote unquote, the old boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has caused me to really want to hide this particular portion of the Word of God in my heart, that I wake up every morning and realize that even though I have an earthly husband that I love dearly, I am betrothed. Mm-hmm. To my bridegroom forever and ever and ever. And so therefore, to keep my simplicity of devotedness and loyalty to him can be a priority 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a great illustration. How we can get caught up in our busy, busy, busyness and relating that to old boyfriends is such a good illustration because we do get caught up in other things.
Well, and stop and think if it was the other way around and you got a message that Terry, who was at that time not your husband, but he had still given you a ring and then he had gone off to get the mm-hmm. place ready and you heard he was out dating old girlfriends.
Yeah.
Don't think that our performance does not matter. Now, granted, we are saved by faith through grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and it's nothing that we can
Absolutely.
Do of ourselves. But once we are his children, then we're to grow in grace and knowledge, and we were created for good works, and performance does matter. And
right.
there is a evangelical contemporary teaching out there now that because of the righteousness of God being imputed to us, that our performance doesn't really matter. And if it doesn't matter, then prayer time doesn't really matter.
Right.
And
Nothing
we know
we
that that's
matters.
A falsehood.
Right.
We know that's a falsehood. So.
Right. Yeah. And there's that, you know, nothing you do matters. And, you know, you can sin and
there's no consequences.
And there's no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because they trample grace underfoot.
And granted, grace for our salvation is a free gift to us. It cost him everything. But we need to realize that how we walk and talk are mm-hmm. going to influence those around us. And we need to be letting him flow mm-hmm. in and flow out of us.
Shall we continue in sin because grace abounds?
May abound. God mm-hmm. forbid.
God forbid.
Never, never, never.
That's Romans 6.
Romans 6. Yes, yes. That is foundational for the new Christian. And I find that many Christians who have been reading the Bible but maybe are not students of the Word, I have a lot of questions from Romans 6, 7, and 8.
And you know, Janie, I just thought about this last night. Terry's got a swollen foot. He doesn't know what he's done to it. And he's hobbling around hurting, right? And so I asked him last night, I said, what are you going to do? I mean, these are your feet. I mean, you can't just hobble around for
part of the armor. You need to put the shoes on.
Refuses to go to the doctor. And I thought, you know, this is our trouble with our spiritual walk is, you know, we don't have our foundation all intact. We're not looking at the foundational scriptures to learn from them so that we can get our footing right and our feet walking according to God's word. And so the rest of us stumbles. I mean, he obviously has something wrong with his foundation because it is obvious to watch him hobble across the floor.
Well, and medically speaking, we have proprioceptors and nociceptors, which help us with our pain sensations that are very strong in the feet and over the body. And then the proprioceptors help us with our balance. So right now, he can be having a problem with getting his pain under control, but getting his balance under control. And you can apply that spiritually go big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at him and that's what happens to us spiritually. I mean, many times we can look at people and see that their foundation is hurting. It's stressed. It's not working properly. And we can do that ourselves.
Well, and I tell you what, I'm going to make another analogy here on Terry today. All right. J.C. Medcalf says, it is more than comforting to realize that it is those who have plumbed the depths of pain and sometimes failure to whom God invariably gives the call to shepherd others. This is not a call to the gifted, the highly trained, or the polished. Without a bitter experience of our own inadequacy and poverty of spirit, we are quite unfitted to bear the burdens and the reality for others. So he could be having some spiritual training in his physical affliction if we will go in that direction. So go home tonight and tell Terry he is being spiritually equipped for things, the future of unknown. All right?
All right.
The Lord speaks in unusual places, so you always need to be tuned with a sensitive ear. And I don't like the word excitement because that is so overused in the Christian world today. And the world uses it so wrongly, and then we've taken that word. But there truly is a place for getting enthusiastic or excited about the Word of God. And then as you see other people responding to it, it makes your life have new meaning and new purpose, and the joy of the Lord comes across because you are walking in the Spirit, and it just all kind of flows and meshes together to create life.
Right.
Not only life, but it can bring a healing mentally, emotionally, or what have you.
Amen. You know, Janie, I just want to give some encouragement today to those who are just learning about the Shepherd's Field. Or want to make it a part of their life. You know, so many times we fail in our New Year's resolutions because we decide that I'll just use diet as one of them because that's what I've done over and over, is I'm going to get up early, I'm going to drink more water, and I'm going to exercise. And so I try all of those things at one time, and I jump in with both feet and fall flat on my face. And what God is showing me is that we can take things one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's focus on more water first. Get that habit down. Then we'll work on getting up early. And then we'll have the water down, we'll have the getting up early down, and then we'll move into some exercise, adding that regimen to our habits. Mm-hmm. And so when we do things like that spiritually, God allows us to grow.
Yes.
And we aren't feeling like a failure every time. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Take things a step at a time.
That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.